Somebody say it. Giving in trust. Amen. Who wants to grow in God, by the way, right? Why else would you come to church? Amen. Since you're in church, I know you are committed to growing in God. What was the Vince Lombardi quote you were showing me last night? We'll do a Father's Day thing a little bit. The guys. Was that today? That's part of today? Then I'm going to stay out of that because she's going to share it with you later. But it had something to do with the word commitment. Amen. And I know if you're in church today that you are committed to growing in God. Amen. So the G was for what? Giving in trust. And then the R, of course, stood for receiving. Ella's got it. Amen. So giving and receiving. Well, today, this is my letter today. Today is brought to you by the letter O. Amen. And that word stands for offering. Somebody say offering. O is for offering. Amen. And it's important to remember when we're giving, you know, when you're giving to the ministry and sowing into the work of God, that this is a spiritual thing you're doing. Amen. And while I'm thinking about spiritual things, it's good to be thinking about spiritual things. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Pacific time, the U.S. Embassy is moving to Jerusalem. And somebody ought to just say, thank you, Jesus, for that. That is a significant thing. And you can actually watch it live on Believer's Voice of Victory Network, I believe, is how I'm gonna watch it. But you can probably all check it out. But some will probably criticize it and tear it down as they attack our president. They'll continue to attack him. Amen. But I support him, and this is one of the reasons I voted for the man, honestly, is because he has a heart for Israel. Amen. And an honoring for God's holy land. Amen. And what's the significance of it? Well, the significance of it is it's basically coming out and saying the United States is on Israel's side, not on the Palestinian side, and this whole juggling the land and what we're going to give. We want to give the part of the land to people that want to destroy Israel and all this kind of stuff. No, somebody say no, right? And it was interesting. I was watching Eagle Mountain this morning, my EMIC class, and there was a man in the front row that shared a testimony this morning. He's a meteorologist, and he also works with the air traffic control out there in Dallas. And he said, you know, it's interesting. Since the decision was made to move the embassy to Jerusalem, the weather patterns in the United States have calmed down significantly. Like it's supposed to be tornado season. Let me tell you guys, stuff's connected to how Israel is treated. Just look at the Word of God. Amen. People who tear down Israel are cursed. And that includes giving money and support and aid to countries that want to wipe Israel off the map. Amen? So this is a huge, huge thing that we all need to celebrate and remember. It's also, tomorrow is the 70th anniversary of the day that Israel became a nation again in 1948 under President Truman. Amen? So praise God. These are significant things. Significant things. Amen? Did you know another tidbit of fun regarding Israel is the years from Adam to Abraham. Somebody say Adam to Abraham, right? 1,948 years. The year Israel became a nation again, 1948. Nothing is coincidental in the Word of God, amen? So supporting this nation and just getting behind people and voting people in that will support and do things. You know how many years that this has been promised by other presidents that didn't do it, backed off? Oh, yeah, we'll move the embassy to Jerusalem, and then never did it. This is the man that is actually carrying it out. Amen? And there'll be ministers. Kenneth Copeland's going to be there. A number of different ministers are going to be there to support and so forth. So let's pray, just before we're receiving our offering. But, you know, let's rebuke any potential attacks during this time, amen, apply the blood over it. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we apply the blood over Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as your word says, and your peace and honor and favor on those who would favor your land, God. We apply the blood over every aircraft over there, over every ministry, over the president, over the nation of Israel. We bind every demonic threat of attack and terrorist attack and so forth there or anywhere else in this country or anywhere else in the world, Lord. we tell you, Satan, you are excommunicated from the land of Israel, from the United States and her allies, and we declare that Jesus Christ is Lord over Israel, over the U.S., and over our allies, God. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And somebody say, God bless President Trump. Amen. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Well, for the offering today, I want to share something out of, in terms of offering time and tithe time, 1 Samuel 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Now, I did not marry a chicken woman. I've heard Keith Moore use that terminology for his wife, and I thought that is totally my wife as well. I married a woman that loves God, that is full of faith and power and strength, and you know, she tells me what to do sometimes. Amen? Praise God. And she is strong in the Lord, and she loves movies about strong women who go out and do stuff. Amen? She's like a spiritual Wonder Woman. Amen? And she's just full of God's strength and power. And Mother's Day is about celebrating strong women, women who are strong in faith. I'm not talking about masculine women. I'm talking about women who are strong in faith. Aren't you glad Jesus redeemed the woman, right? No longer are women supposed to be under the man's foot, amen, but they also aren't lording it over the man, right? They're the man's helpmate and so forth. But there's awesome things that God has anointed women of faith to do, and this is one of those stories, amen? In 1 Samuel chapter 25. Now there was a man, this is a King David story. There was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and his wife was Abigail. Say Abigail, right? And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful in appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, that's the thing is, He didn't want to share his sheep. He was shearing his sheep. Amen. David sent 10 young men and said to the young men, go up to Carmel, to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, peace to you, peace to your house, and peace to all you have. That sounds like a pretty cool greeting from David, right? Most guys would feel, you know, wow, David sent me a greeting of peace. Amen. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all you have. Now I have heard that you have shearers. Your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, and we will come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son David. So David is saying, hey, listen. We could have pretty much took control of your stuff out here. But we protected your guys. We protected your stuff. We watched over you. We had your backs. So, hey, we're asking that you be a blessing to us. We're, you know, they're on the run. Saul's after him, right? This is the transition period between kings, and David's out on his own with all these guys. And he's saying, hey, listen, if you could please be a blessing to us like we've been a blessing to you right now, that would be great. But you'll find out Nabal means fool. Right? And the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, right? So even though he was shearing his sheep, he refused to share his sheep, right? He refused to give an offering to this man of God. And David is a type of Jesus in the Bible. Amen? And so somebody say, Nabal is a fool, right? And so we don't have to be a fool. Amen? Praise the Lord. So when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and waited. Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David and who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. Then shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed from my shears and give it to men who I do not know where they're from? So David's young men turned on their heels and went back, and they came and told him all these words. Here we go, right? David, verse 13, said to his men, every man gird on his sword. Oh, man, Nabal was a fool, wasn't he? So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. About 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and they reviled him. But the men were very good to us." Now they're testifying. Hey, listen, David and his guys have been good to us out there, right? "And we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields." So see, this is really a type of Jesus. As you go through life, if you're honoring him, he's going to protect you and watch over you and keep you and bless you. Amen. They were a wall to us, both by night and day, all the time we were with them keeping the sheep. So they're protecting these guys from evil things, right? "Now, therefore, know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that we cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste. Somebody say made haste, right? Or hurried. Amen. "And took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys." Somebody say, here is a woman who's getting it done, right? She's going to save her whole household. Amen? And I won't go into the whole story. You can read that later on your own. But this woman takes all these donkeys and meets David and the army that's on their way to destroy their household, meets him in the middle of the road, falls down on her face and cries out for mercy and says, "Here, you know, receive this blessing from us." And the woman, what was she doing? She was bringing an offering. She was bringing an offering. And it wasn't just a little offering. And she didn't ask Nabal for his permission. The fool, right? Amen. And I know there's ladies that I've known over my life that come to church and serve God and their husbands do not. And in their hearts, they're being fools, right? But the woman has the authority and really the responsibility before God. Your offerings and your giving count. Your offerings and your giving and your time and your service count. They're covering you. They're covering your household. They're covering your family. They're covering generations after you, even if you're living with a fool. Glory to God. Amen. And the good news is Jesus isn't nowadays into killing the fool. He wants to save the fool. Save him from being a fool. Amen. But I just want to encourage all you ladies, you got that Abigail spirit. Amen. And I've been a fool. You can even have a husband in church and he's being a fool. Just ask my wife. Amen. But guess what? Jesus redeemed the fool, right? But just go on with that spirit of Abigail. Be quick. Somebody say, be quick. In haste. I'm going. The church doors are open. I'm there. Amen. There's something needs to be done at the church. I'm there. What are you doing? You're bringing an offering. You're bringing an offering to Jesus. And just like the word says, he is a wall around you. He is a wall around you. And if you know the rest of this story, the rest of the story is the man, the fool ends up dying. And Abigail gets a promotion from the house of the fool to the house of the king. Glory to God forevermore. Now that's growth. That's growth. That's supernatural. Somebody say supernatural growth, right? And it happened because she brought an offering to Jesus, to the king. Amen. Don't you know it's good to be in the house of the faithful, of the king, instead of the house of the fool? Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, I've been redeemed from the house of the fool, and I'm in the house of the king. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. We're just gonna pray right now and receive today's tithes and offerings. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord God, that that spirit that was in Abigail is here today, Lord, the Holy Spirit. The spirit that makes haste, the spirit that brings our tithes and offerings and is always ready to serve and help and be generous, Lord God. We speak, Lord, that supernatural favor and blessing be upon your ladies today. Supernatural favor and blessing on all of us, God. That by giving, Lord, we are declaring that we are delivered from the house of Satan, the fool, and over into the household of Jesus, the faithful, the Savior. And we are growing, 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 growing more and more and more like him. We are blessed and we are highly favored today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. Somebody shout amen. Let's receive the tithes and offerings this morning.
So happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. My mom is here today. And happy Mother's Day to my mother-in-law. They're both here today. Thank you for coming. So we are going to do something a little bit different. When Steve was talking to me about speaking today, I felt like the Lord had given me a word. And it was just rolling around in me. And I thought, that is the weirdest Mother's Day ever. But he was like, he was sharing with me when I was praying about it, and he said, Shelly, if you knew something that could help someone else, wouldn't you tell them about it? And I was like, well, yeah. And he's like, well, I've given you something that can help the mothers that are there today and everyone who comes today, so share it. I was like, okay, Lord. So today's title is, nope, I guess it's not. There you go. It's just going to say Happy Mother's Day. Today's title is The Way Out. And if you don't have one of these, you're going to want to get one. So Lacey, would you run and go grab those? If you don't have one, let us know, and we can get one to you. They're coming right behind you, Vance. The Way Out. Oh, my goodness. If you have your Bibles, you're going to want to open up to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. I love this passage of scripture. It's probably one of the most encouraging passages of scripture that you'll ever find when you're facing an obstacle or something in your life that you're dealing with. It's a reminder to us that we are not stuck there. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will provide a way out," say a way out, "so that you can stand up under it." Amen. Randy, could you turn off the air just a little bit? Thank you. The way out. Now, you're probably looking at your papers going, oh my goodness, she had a typo. But there's not a typo. It's on purpose. You see, I have been struggling, I'm just going to be real this morning. I have been struggling with my weight for quite a long time. Quite a long time. I think it started with children. And I know this is kind of a weird thing to talk about in church, but again, I feel like the Lord has done something in my life and shown me something, and so I want to share it so that you too can find a way out. This is not a weight seminar. I'm not going to get up here and I'm not going to tell you how I'm doing my weight loss. I'm just going to share my personal testimony today. So when it's been about 3 or 4 months ago that I just got tired. Have you ever reached that point where you're just tired of something in your life? Maybe it's your weight, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's a relationship, and you just reached that point that you've just had enough. Okay? And that's where I was at with my weight. I had just had enough. And you know, diets have one word inside diet, and it's die. And that is exactly why we should not diet. Because death comes with dieting. Diets always end, right? There's always death to the diet somewhere. What it has to be is it has to be a lifestyle change. But I don't know about you, but in my life, I didn't want to give up certain things. Let's just be real, right? So even though I was struggling with my weight, I wasn't willing to give up things. And when you're not willing to give things up, guess what? Your weight's going to stay the same, probably increase. Right? And that's what I was seeing, is I would get, okay, I'll do this and do it a couple days, and then I'd go back, and then I would gain even more weight, which is even more discouraging, so it's like a cycle, right? So you gain more weight, so what's the use? Just have another treat of some kind, right? Because that always soothes. It's not a carrot, it's a treat. Just that's the way it works. And so I'd reached this point in my life where I was like, I have had enough. And Pastor Steve has been sharing about the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can stand up here today and tell you, if you try anything on your own, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Because who does this passage of scripture say provides the way out? God provides the way out. So this morning, I want to challenge all of us. There is a way out. And maybe it's not your weight today. Maybe for you, it's your finances. Maybe there's a temptation in your life that you've had your entire life. I have struggled with sugar my entire life. All my life. You know if it's something you're struggling with because it's that thing that you do when no one is around. Is anybody amening out there? Got really quiet in here. It's that thing you do when no one is around. Now, for some of you, that might be, like for me, it would be that candy bar that you would buy as you're exiting the store with the groceries so that you could eat it in the car. By the time you got home, it was gone. So nobody knew that you ate it. And so at home, you'd feel good about yourself because you're still eating carrots in front of everybody else. Okay, let's just be real this morning, right? And maybe for some of you, it's that running away to the store and you buy something on credit that nobody else knows about, including your spouse. Or maybe for some of you, it's the internet. And it's that 10 minutes that you can squeeze in of looking at something that you shouldn't be looking at before your spouse gets home or the kids get home. I don't know what it is today, but you know what? God has a way out for you today. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for all that you've been doing in my life. And I pray today, Lord, that this word would not be condemning. It's not meant to condemn. Maybe convict, because we have to start somewhere, Father, for the change to happen in our lives. But God, I thank you so much for this word that you've given me, that you've shown me, Lord, that there is a way out. And we just praise you for helping every person here today to find the way out. In Jesus' name, amen. So often in life, we get to some place in our life and we go, how in the world did I get here? Right? Have you ever felt like that? Like when I was dealing with my weight. How in the world did I never dreamed I would be here. And for each one of us at different places in our lives, we can go, oh yeah, but you don't have what I have and I don't have what you have. That's okay. We're just talking about looking at our own lives and being real with ourselves and the Lord this morning, okay? But oftentimes we get someplace in life and we wonder, how did we get here? I've shared this story before. Remember when I was telling you how that I can, from my earliest memories, remember being in church and there was a group of kids that my brother and I ran around with? Well, this was one of those boys that I was running around with still in my college days. We were friends for basically our whole lives. And we were taking another friend, actually he was another one of the boys we were running around at church days. And we were taking him and a guy that he had brought from college, and they wanted us to go see the gorge, and so this friend and I had taken them out, and we were coming back the old highway that runs by Multnomah Falls, and we'd been, you know, this was our hangout area since childhood, right? We knew all this area, and we're driving around. He was driving, so it wasn't actually me that got us there, but I do think I said, okay, let's go. But we passed this road, and right by Multnomah Falls, and he was like, do you remember that road? And I'm like, no, I don't remember seeing that road before. I didn't even know there was a road over there. And he's like, let's just see where it goes. And I was like, okay, yeah, let's go. And our friend and his friend had fallen asleep in the back. And so it was late at night, and we were headed home. I think we'd gone to Hood River. And so it was dark. And so we're going down this road. And like, you just know, oh, no, what did we do, right? But you're already committed, so you got to keep going. And so this road no longer is accessible to people, I'm sure, because there's cameras and they saw us back in, you know, it's been like 25 years, so it's been a while ago. What it was is that road that, you know how like that there's that little river and there's the underpass for the train and the people to walk through? We were driving on that path. So once you're committed, you know that that little road just kind of goes around the creek and then it goes to the tunnel. Being the geniuses that we were, I'm like, dude, you cannot back up. You're going to end up in the river, okay? Because you can't see. It's pitch black. So we get in this tunnel, and we're already going, right? So we got to keep going. And you're wondering in your mind, how in the world did we get here, right? But you can't go back, so you got to trust that there is a way out, right? And so we keep pulling, and I'm like, you're too close to the wall. No, I'm fine. You're too close to the wall. No, I'm fine. You're too close to the wall. And he freezes. And I'm like, that was your car in the wall. He's like, maybe I can back up. I'm like, it's not going to work. I'm like, okay, okay. We have to think. We have to think. Okay. There's got to be a way out, right? There has to be a way out. So he's like, okay, let's wake up the guys and get out of the car. And he has a tiny car. So we woke up the guys in the back and we all piled out and we're all like, what are we going to do? And the guys, they were football players. They're like, we'll just pick the car up and move it. I'm like, okay, I'll let you do that. Go ahead. So between the three of them, they picked up the car and inched it inch by inch away from the wall. No problem. We all load back in. We're headed out. Now, for those of you who have been to Multnomah Falls, have you ever noticed how far down the curb is when you go straight out into the parking lot? It's not a little curb. It's a deep curb. So my friend is like, hey, good. All right. We pass the wall. Out we go. Thunk. And he's just suspended. We're like this. Because he's a way out. Sometimes the way out, you really have to think about it, right? As you're on your way out. And eventually, the guys, we all got out of the car again. And the guys in the back slowly and carefully lifted the car until it wasn't doing like a teeter-totter effect and got us off and we got on our way. We did eventually get a way out. But if you ever go to Multnomah Falls and you see there's these scratch marks on the side of the wall, they are still there today. I've shown my kids. That's my friend and I. Yep, that was us. But we eventually found the way out, right? And when you're finding the way out of whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life, sometimes it can feel like, oh my word, Lord, do you know where we're going? Because this doesn't feel like it's the way out. And when I started this process with my weight, the first thing I had to do was I had to be decided. You can't make a decision and be wishy-washy. So for D, I want you to write in there, decided. When we were going out of the tunnel, we had to be decided. We had to know that we know that we know that we got to get out of here, right? Well, that was a no-brainer. But sometimes it's not a no-brainer when you're getting out of something in your life. Maybe it's debt. And you're like, okay, Lord, I'm going to get out of debt. I'm going to do this. And then the very next day, you don't have enough money, but okay, I'll just use my credit card one more time. Just one more time. Just one more time. Or, you know what? I'll start tomorrow on this lifestyle change. Just one more donut. One more donut. But you can't be wishy-washy when you're really expecting God to show you the way out. You have to be decided. Say decided. Let's go ahead and look at Judges chapter 2. This is an amazing portrayal of what we are like when we're wishy-washy. And it says in verse 16, then the Lord raised up judges. Now this is when the Israelites were out of Egypt. They were in the promised land. They were living. And God had given them specific instructions, just like he gives to us, on how they were to live their lives. And it says that the Lord raised up judges who saved them, that'd be Israel, out of the hand of these raiders. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshiped them. Unlike their fathers, they quickly turned from the way in which their fathers had walked, the way of obedience to the Lord's commands. That's important. The way of obedience to the Lord's command. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hand of their enemies as long as the judge lived. For the Lord had compassion on them as they groaned under those who oppressed them and afflicted them. But when the judge died, the people returned to their ways even more corrupt than those of their father, following after gods and serving and worshiping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. And you can read to the book of Judges, the nation of Israel gets saved and everything's going good. Then the judge dies and they go right back to where they're living. And then they get saved and they go back down. And they get saved and they go back down. It's like a teeter-totter or a swing, back and forth and back and forth. And we go, oh man, these stupid people. Until the Lord looks at you and goes, how many times have you gone back and forth and back and forth in something in your life? And for me, that was my weight, going back and forth and back and forth in whatever diet or fad or whatever. But I was looking for something more. And I had decided in my mind that I am done. Say decided. And when you become decided, it's a firm decision to not be wishy-washy anymore. In Titus 2:12, it says, "We are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this world with self-control, right conduct, and devotion to God." And in 1 Kings 8:61, it says, "Let your heart, therefore, be wholly devoted to the Lord and to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day." And you may be sitting there, you may be saying, well, you know, my overeating is not a sin. Does it separate you from God? Are you doing it in secret? Because I can tell you, just about everything that you do in secret is probably got a tint of sinfulness to it. Otherwise, why are you doing it in the dark? Why are you doing it all by yourself? So God is not trying to condemn today. He's saying, I'm here to set you free. Because what I'm noticing in my life, as I have decided to do something about my weight, I'm noticing not only am I free from this thing, the freedom is spreading out into areas of my life that I didn't even realize. I'm like, whoa, this is awesome, God. But it is a process, right? How many people know we didn't get to where we're at financially or physically or emotionally because of one decision we made one day? No. It's, for a lot of us, it's a lifetime. Sometimes it's generational, right? And so we can't look at this as an insta fix. We have to look at this as a process that we are walking out. And it starts with being decided, being firm in our decision making. And one morning, I remember waking up and I looked down at the scale and I thought, enough is enough. I'm done. I'm like, Lord, I realize I cannot do this on my own. Be really careful when you say that, because he listens. And no sooner had I said that, then a way out was provided for me. I began to see things that I needed to change that I never dreamed I would need to change, and doing things the way I didn't think made sense. But how many people know the Holy Spirit knows exactly what you need? He knows what's right for your body. And what's right for my body is not right for yours. And what's right for your body is not right for me. God has a plan for each of us. He has a way out. And when you make that step to be decided about whatever it is that you're facing in your life, he will provide the way out. I love that song, the old song. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. That is the same passion, the passion that you chose to choose Jesus and not turn back, is the same passion that we have to have when we have decided to trust the Lord for the way out. We have to know that we know that we know. Now, you have questions, and I want you to answer them today. I want you to go home and I want you to pray about this, because the Lord showed me he has a way out for each of you today. He has a way out. Just like he is showing me my way out in my weight, he has the way out for you. Whether it's your finances, whether it's your weight, whether it's a relationship in your life, not necessarily the way out of that, but the way out of the negativeness of that relationship. He has the way out if there is a temptation or a sin that you've had in your life for years and years and years and years. Today, there is a way out. But this is between you and him. So I don't want you to fill in these questions until you go home and you pray about it. Because number one, you have to be decided. So this can't be a little, oh, I'll just fill in the blanks today. Because I can tell you, most of the time when you just fill in the blanks, you are not decided. Because you know what? Sometimes having that candy bar feels good. Sometimes being angry at that person feels good. Sometimes using your credit card feels good. Sometimes looking at pictures you shouldn't be looking at feels good. Just being honest today. Sometimes it feels good and we don't want to give it up. So you have to reach that point like I did when I stepped on the scale and said, I am done. Holy Spirit, help me out. But then you have to be ready. This is why you have to be decided. Because when you make that statement, the Holy Spirit will come and say, okay, then this. God is so good. He doesn't just go, lose weight. Well, that's an overwhelming task. Okay, who wants to do that, right? No, he's so good, he's specific. And sometimes we don't want to hear it. You mean I got to give up that too? Well, good grief. What do I have left? My life of eating is just going to stink now. Because that's what went through my mind. I was cranky with him, right? I was mouthy with him. And he was like, are you done? Well, all right, yes, I'm done. Okay, then this is the way out. You got to choose. Are you going to take it? And I wanted to change, not just because I'm not into being skinny. I don't want to be skinny. I want to be healthy. I'm an older mom. I want to be around a long time. I want to see my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids. And I don't want it to be because my girls got married young. Okay? I want to be around and I want to be healthy. Health has to be the number one thing for me, right? Not to get skinny. And that was why I could be decided. And I know I'm spending a long time on this point, but it's so important. You have to know why you're doing what you're doing. Otherwise, it's just words. God's tired of your words. Can I tell you that today? He's tired of your words. It's a bunch of lip service. He's saying today, are you ready to fully follow me? And some of you may say, but what does my eating have to do? Everything. Everything. My relationship with the Lord has improved since he's been showing me the way out. You say food doesn't matter. I say it does. Because it's something that kept me from the Lord because it was something I did in secret. Again, you may say, oh, Shelly, come on. No, come on. How does the devil come? Does he come at you like a storm? I'm here. I'm here to lead you astray. No. He's the little foxes that come into the back that try to deceive you. That's not bad. God doesn't care. How'd he come at Adam and Eve? Eat the apple. No. Oh, God doesn't care. He doesn't care if you just eat one apple, just one candy bar, just one picture, just one time using the credit card. It's not a big deal. That's how he comes. He's a thief. He's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. And today God is saying to you, I know you are in your car and you are stuck in this tunnel. And you're not quite sure how in the world you're going to get out without scratching this wall on your car even more. But you know what he's saying today? I have a way out. I have a way out. Decided. Once you're decided, then you have to be committed. That's number C. You have to be committed. You'll just wander unless you have a plan to get to where you want to go. You'll just wander. Like we were wandering around on that road, not sure where it was going to lead, right? You will wander unless you have a plan. Committed, you've got to have actions to back up your words. Let's go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Jesus tells a parable. Matthew 21, verse 28. What do you think? He's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes. There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later, he changed his mind and he went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, I will, sir. But he didn't go. Which of the two did what the father wanted? The first, they answered. Because it's not about your words necessarily, it's about your actions. It's about how you follow up those words with commitment. I think a beautiful story of commitment is one that you don't often hear about. It's in Matthew 1. And it has to do with a man who had made a commitment to a woman, and then something miraculous happened in her life. At least that's what she said. And he was forced with a decision. Do I stay betrothed to her, or do I divorce her? Because in those days, you were already seen as married even before your marriage ceremony, based on Jewish law and tradition and how that they did things. And Joseph had not married Mary yet, but he had made the commitment. And we see that he's forced with a decision. Do I back up my words, or do I just quietly let her go? And he has a dream. And how many people know that just because you have a dream, we read this and we go, oh, he had a dream, an angel told him, he's good to go. But how many men in this room, if before you got married, your spouse came to you, well, not spouse, but fiance came to you and said, I am pregnant with the Son of God, would have said, okay, I'll still marry you, right? Even if you had a dream, I think there would still be that level of, is this real? And I think that so often we belittle and negate the powerful decision that Joseph had to follow up his words with actions. After he has his dream, it says, Joseph went and did what he said he would do, and he married her. Your actions have to back up your words. Otherwise, you're just going to wander. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. And this is the quote that Steve was talking about from Vince Lombardi. Most people fail not because of lack of desire, but because of lack of commitment. And when I began this way out, I had made my decision, and the Lord was opening up my plan, or opening up the way out for me. I had to have a plan, right? I had to make some decisions in my life. Okay, so the plan is, when I go to the store, I know I'm always hungry. No, this is serious, right? So you have to have a plan. You don't go to the store empty-handed. I carry a baggie of almonds now, right? I have learned almonds are amazing, okay? They're like the Wonder Nut. You eat them and some water, and you're not hungry anymore. Wow, okay, that was a revelation for me. And sometimes, because I have learned that dark chocolate, if you get a certain percentage, is actually good for you and works for your body. Now, if you'd have told me 20 years ago that I would like dark chocolate, I would laugh at you. Hated dark chocolate. It's disgusting, right? I love it now. The other day, we like had something, some kind of milk chocolate. I think somebody sent it to us, or we bought it at like a fundraiser or something. And the kids tasted it and they're like, what is this? I'm like, well, that's milk chocolate. Because in our house now, all you can find is dark chocolate. And they love it. But you see, it's all about your attitude. And you have to, if you're going to do something and you're going to walk this way out, you can't expect to have the same desires and wants and needs and get the way out. Things are going to begin changing. And it's not that these things weren't good before. Just your attitude about them wasn't good, right? And so you have to be committed. So when I make the meal plan for our family, I make the meal plan differently than I used to. I choose meals that are healthier for us as a family. Instead of getting more things that would be sugar-based, I get more things that are fruit or vegetables. And sometimes the kids squawk. But you know what? Now they ask for me to get things that are healthy. It's amazing, all because of a shift or a change, and I'm committed to this, and I have a plan. So you also have to have a plan for yourselves in the way out. If you know that your credit card is a temptation, here is a big revelation. Leave it at home. I know it's shocking, but it's simple, right? But this is where you have to be decided in what you're doing, because some of us don't want to do that. I remember when I first started this eating change. I don't want to have almonds. I always go to Winco. I buy my groceries, and I get my piece of pizza at the end. I even get the veggie and the thin crust. You mean I can't have that anymore either? Right? I mean, oh, trust me. If you want to hear whining, you should have been in the car with the Lord and I. But you know what I'm finding? I feel good. I feel good. I have energy that I didn't have. And I'm feeling good about the decisions that I'm making. And like I said, it's not just about my weight. It's about what's happening between me and the Lord. It's amazing when you ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life and to do something. The power of the Holy Spirit that Pastor Steve has been talking about. It's phenomenal. My dad, he has a boat. He and my brother do. And they needed something fixed on the boat. And it was like $700-$800, is that right? $700-$800 job that needs to be done. My dad's like, I can do this. And he was sharing with my mom that she's like, how in the world did you know to do this and this? And he was sharing with me one day. He was like, I didn't know how I was going to get this part off. And he said, I feel like the Holy Spirit said, lay on the ground. Lay on the ground, okay? Lay on the ground. So he lays on the ground, looks up, and he sees two bolts that he never knew were there. You take off these two bolts, and the whole thing comes apart. So he was able to fix the piece that needed to be fixed for like 100 or something. Way less, because the Holy Spirit just led him step by step by step on how to do it. The way out. When you make that commitment, the Holy Spirit shows you things that you didn't even know were there. And sometimes laying down makes no sense, right? Sometimes giving up a certain food makes no sense. But if you will listen to what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, you will find your way out, and it will bring life, and life more abundantly. We have to be decided. We have to be committed. And when you make that commitment, you better have steps. Otherwise, your actions are not going to be able to back up your words. You've got to have a plan. So when you go home and you write down what decision are you needing to make today, after that, write down three things. Just start with three. Three things that you can do that the Holy Spirit is showing you for that way out. And then just work on those three. Don't worry about 15 or 40 or what you're going to do from 6 months from now. Just work on those three. Because sometimes we can overwhelm ourselves with commitment. And then we like, whoa, now what do I do? Right? And this next part, the A, is accountability. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes 4. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. And it says, two are better than one. Say that again. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. How can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Knowing you have to give an account is the motivation you need when you don't feel motivated. I remember when I started this process, at the very first thing that the Lord worked with me on the way out was exercise. And I decided, and I had a plan. I was going to exercise 5 days a week. And the first week went by. And the second week went by. And I got a phone call from a friend. And I was sharing with her what the Lord was doing in my life and how I was got a plan, I got something to do. And she's like, okay, so call me a week from today and let me know how many you did. oh, you want me to call you and tell you? She's like, yeah, yeah. Then you'll know you have to be accountable with somebody and it'll help you stick to it. Yeah, yeah, that sounds good. Can I text you? And she's like, sure, but if I don't hear from you, I'm going to call you. Okay. I was like, oh, dog. I can't, like, let this girl down, right? So the very first week, I did 5. And I didn't want to do 5. You know why I did 5? Because every night at 9:30, I realized I did not exercise, and I am not calling this girl and telling her that I did 4. No way. I'm going to call her and tell her I did 5. And so I got on the treadmill or the bike or whatever and did my exercise. And before I knew it, it had become a pattern. And that's a funny story, but you know what? Accountability is crucial. It is crucial in your life. Because what does it say? If one falls down, pity him. He has no one to help him up. If you think that you're going to make it on the way out by yourself, pity you. Because you have no one there to help you when you fall down. This is not talking about spouses. This is talking about friends. You need to find someone in your life that you can be accountable to. That like me, you don't want to call or text her and tell him you made a mistake. Ouch. No way. It's that push that you need to start a new habit. It's so easy to stay in a bad habit, right? Oh, it's too easy to get that way. But when you're starting a good habit in your life, it takes like 30 days. 30 days! Why 30 days, right? Why can't it just be one? But it takes 30 days for us to correct something that we started off doing wrong. So having that accountability is that person that's there to say, oh man, I know you only did 4, but 4 is good, but next week let's make it 5. You can do this. You can make it. It's that person that's there until it becomes so routine in your life that you're like, why was I stressed about making it 5? I feel good. This is awesome. And it's rolling and rolling and working and working. And before you know it, you are cruising, right? But it takes someone else to be accountable to. If you think that you can be able to get out of debt by yourself, if you think you're able to get out of sin by yourself, you're wrong. You need to be accountable. Because when you do something by yourself, it's you and your mind thinking you've got it all together. And you know what happens in the dark? I'll tell you what happens in the dark. The devil comes to you and he lies to you. He either beats you up and tells you you're a horrible person and you're never going to make it out, and so you just keep wallowing. Or he tells you that you're totally fine and you don't have to worry about it. You can still have this and serve the Lord and be okay. Wrong, wrong, and wrong. That is why when you tell someone, it says, confess your sins one to another. Why do we do that? Because when you confess, it's no longer in the dark. This can even be some of you who have struggled in your mind, where the devil will send thoughts about maybe your kids or about your marriage or about your life. And you sit there and you dwell on it and you dwell on it and you dwell on it. That is also something that you need a way out of. Fear, anxiety, stress. It's because you are trying to do this all on your own. And the Lord is telling you today, I have a way out. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. You know what I do? My mom and I call each other a lot. And we'll say, okay, I need you to pray today. It's the mind thing again. You know what? I was up last night. I woke up out of a sound sleep. And I just kept quoting scripture because the enemy kept feeding me lies. That's something we've had as like a generational thing in our family that we're breaking through so that my kids don't deal with this. But when you talk to someone and you tell someone what you've been thinking or what you've been dwelling on and you pray together, it's done. And what I've been noticing is when that thought comes up, most of the time it's related to fear or anxiety. I just tell the devil, no. No. A lot of you moms understand. You send your kids off to school. You hear a siren and it's close to their school. Your heart starts beating faster. Right? Is it for my kid? Is it for me? Is it mine? You know what I tell the devil now? No. I yell. I'm done being quiet with him. I yell, no. It's not for my kid. And whoever's kid it is, in the name of Jesus, I start taking authority. You know what I've noticed? He doesn't tap on my shoulder and feed me lies very much anymore. Because why? Because I just go after him. Because there's a way out today. Accountability, having someone in your life that you can go to. And this needs to be a trustworthy person. You want to pick someone, and sometimes it's your spouse. Sometimes it's a friend that you can be accountable with. But whoever it is, ask the Lord and then write their name down on this piece of paper. Accountability. Who are you going to be accountable to? Because knowing you have to give an account, I'll say it again, is the motivation you need when you don't feel motivated. It keeps you going. And then the last is P, perseverance. It's the tortoise triumph. It's not the short distance sprint. It's the long haul. Remember the tortoise and the hare, how the hare shot off? And he was going to win the race. And then all of a sudden he's like, yeah, I can do this. I can do that. The tortoise is going to take forever. But the tortoise was slow and steady. Kept on and on and on. And through all the little side trails that the hare took, he ended up losing the race to a tortoise because the tortoise had one goal in mind, the finish line. And I may take a while to get there, but I'm going to get there. You see, winning in our lives and the way out is not a short-term goal. We have to look at this as till Jesus comes back. That doesn't mean you're going to struggle with this. You guys, I can't even begin to tell you how crazy it is. If I ate one piece of candy in my past, it would open the door to an avalanche of desire. I would have to eat more. I'd have to eat more and eat more and eat more. I don't have that in my life anymore. It's incredible. I can have a couple pieces of candy with my kids and be done. If I could wrap you up and put you in my head to know the battle that I have had with that for years and to know that I'm free, it doesn't control me anymore. It's like money. That thing doesn't control me. I control how much I use of it because it's broken. In my life, I don't have to sneak it. I can grab a couple, take it in the bedroom like the girls and I did yesterday, watch a movie, and have a couple starbursts. And I don't have to fear those starbursts. I'm just being real today. I don't have to fear what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day after that. How am I ever going to get this back and gain this back? No, I know the Lord has shown me the way out. The way out. Some of you today are dealing with things you've had your entire life or your entire adult life, a relationship that you don't know how in the world it could ever be different, something you've struggled with and you don't know how will it ever change. It's too big. It is not too big today. It is not too big for Jesus today. Whatever it is that is coming upon your life is not too big for Jesus. Just like the guys in the backseat of the car, he's got guys from heaven that are right there willing to say, I'll pick this up and move it for you. No problem. We got this. Because you know what? You are not alone. The only time you're alone is in the dark when you've got something hidden. That's the only time you're alone. When were Adam and Eve alone in the garden? When they hid from God. When they hid from God. If you are hiding something in your life today, then you are going to be alone. That is why when you try to do it by yourself, it never works. But when you step into the light and you say, okay, God, this is a problem. It's kind of like, what's that, AA meetings? I am an alcoholic, right? They get up and they state it. That's not what we're doing in our lives. We're not saying that that's who we are. We're saying, God, this is a problem in my life. But this is not who I am. You are not someone who is addicted to food. You are not someone who is addicted to pornography. You are not someone who is addicted to spending. You are not someone who is addicted to fear. Today, you are a child of God and you are free. But part of our freedom is learning not to be like the Israelites who kept going around and around and around and around and around in this pattern. There is a way out for you today. And part of it is perseverance. In 2 Corinthians 4:8 through 9, it says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. This is a great example that Paul has given us of the things that come at us at life. But just because things come at you at life doesn't mean you just have to accept them. I don't have to just accept that I have a problem with eating food. I don't have to accept that. I can choose to say, no, this was a problem that I've had, but I'm choosing today to persevere in what I am doing. And what does that mean? One almond at a time. One almond at a time for me. That is part of my breakthrough. Of learning what foods work good in my body and what foods do not. And being willing to say, okay, I don't need sweets all the time. I can have a treat once in a while, but not all the time. And you know what I found? There was one weekend that we just totally went crazy and ate a bunch of junk food. I absolutely hated how I felt the next morning. There was such a noticeable difference in my body that I went, yuck, I don't want to do that again. And I haven't. Thank you, Jesus. It's amazing. I wish I could make you quite understand what I'm talking about today. There's no more hold on me. I get to choose if I want to do that or not anymore. Because the Lord has provided this way out. But what I'm saying is when you've walked away and you've taken this way out and you get going, just like the car coming out of a tunnel and we got going and then we clunk, we fell again in that pothole, right? And we were teetering again. Well, sometimes you'll get out and you'll get going and you'll make a mistake, right? But you will not like the way you feel. And it will be like this revelation of, whoa, is this what it means to be free? I want to go back. I like the freedom part. Get me out of here again, Lord. And after those guys helped us get out of that teeter-tottering place and we got on the road, we kept driving. We didn't have any more issues because we realized what it meant to be free. And that's what the Lord is saying today. God has given you a way out. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not because of you, because of him. So when you're faced with whatever it is that you're working with in your life, and you feel like you hear the Lord, or if you feel like a temptation comes, an enemy comes, and he's like, oh, you're not going to make this. You just tell him, you know what? I might not have made it before because I was doing this by myself. It's not just me now. I have a multitude with me. We're going to make it. I'm not alone anymore. I'm surrounded. In fact, that's one of the closing verses I wanted to read in Hebrews 12:1. Let's go ahead and go over to Hebrews. Aren't you glad God has provided a way out today? Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. I'm going to say that again. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with what? Perseverance or endurance, the race that is marked for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Let's run this race and let's throw off everything, everything that's weighing you down. Now, I don't know what it is that's had on your mind this morning, but I know that the Lord showed me that every one of you in this room had a thought when I talked about that way out and that thing that you're struggling with. That it was that thing that, boom, came right up in your mind. You went, oh, Lord, are we going to talk about this again? Because he's already been working on your hearts and your minds about it. The way out is not meant to condemn you. It's not meant so that you can struggle and strain. Can I tell you, this has been the easiest lifestyle change I've ever made in my life. Because it's not me. It's the Lord giving me the direction I need to get out. So you may be sitting there today going, Shelley, this is so old hat. God has talked to me about this over and over and over again. I've tried everything that I could try, and it's never worked in my life. Today is a new day. And I can tell you today that if you will make that decision, if you will be decided, if you will be committed, if you will find that accountability and you will persevere to the end, God is going to break you through like you have never, ever done before. Because he has a way out. It's not going to be temporary in your life anymore. It's not going to be the start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. Once you make this decision, it is going to be for the rest of your life. And for some of you, you're thinking, there's no way. Yes, there is a way. I thought those same thoughts several months ago. How will I ever get out of this round and round and round and round with my weight? But I can tell you today, I had to wear a belt with these pants. I had to wear a belt. Pastor Steve, last night, we were going to go somewhere to get the flowers for the mothers. And he's like, just imagine, I had to go get a belt for these shorts. I'm like, isn't that awesome? And he's like, that my pants are falling down? I said, no, that you have to go get a belt. And he's like, okay, but I wanted to go. I'm like, never mind. Guys, right? No, but that's the excitement, is when you start seeing the results, all of a sudden you start gaining the authority that you need, not just in your weight, but in other areas of your life. Because all of a sudden you realize, you know what? I'm tired of being pushed around in my weight, but I'm tired of being pushed around in this area, and this area, and this area, and this area. And it's almost like it builds your confidence and your self-esteem. Why? Because the other way was not what God had planned. That was not what God had planned for you. To be entangled or to be feeling like you're trapped in a place of sin or secrecy. That was never his plan. What was his plan? To have fellowship with you, to walk with you every single day. And that is the way out that he has provided for you. The way out. Go ahead and bow your heads. Lindsay, would you come and play the piano for us? Thank you. I just want you for a moment to think about that one thing. And there may be multitude of things that you need to work on, but I feel like the Lord said today, you know which one it is. We've talked about different things today, our weight. We've talked about finances. We talked about relationships. Talked about sin. Whatever it is today, you know it. The Lord showed you as I began speaking. And he is saying today, don't wait one more day. Don't go run and hide from me like Adam and Eve did. Don't do that. Come to me and let me walk you out. Let me be your way out today. You don't have to struggle one day more of feeling alone. Not one day more. He will provide the way out. And just like me, you're going to be able to share with others. Guess what? I figured something out. We don't have to stay in this place anymore. We don't have to struggle with this anymore. God has provided a way out, and you'll be able to share your testimony, whatever it is, with somebody else, and they'll find the way out. And then they'll share with someone else, and they'll find the way out. And none of us are perfect. In fact, that's one of the things when I was fighting this in my head this week. I was listening to Pastor Steve's sermon 2 weeks ago about the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, you know, sometimes you may be thinking, how can God use me to tell somebody about this? I'm still working on this. And in his sermon, he said, but that's exactly why God is telling you. And I was like, wow, Lord, okay, I'll share. Because we can share as we're going on our way out and grab others with us. So we're not going out alone. Today is the day that we are all walking out in Jesus' name. So whatever that thing is, I'm going to pray right now. And this is going to be your moment to decide, to be decided. Don't be wishy-washy one day longer. Don't go back and forth like the Israelites did in Judges. Make today the day of salvation. You have decided today to follow Jesus out of this thing. So, Father, I just pray over every person here today. It wasn't an accident that they were here, that there is a reason and a purpose today. Not to condemn, not to add more weight to their load, but to set us free. To set us free. To set you free today. Jesus has your way out. And just like my dad, it may be, what? God, you're asking what? You want me to lay down? But in that obedience to what the Lord shows you to do, you'll do it and he will show you, oh, it's just two bolts. This is too easy. But you know, when God is working with you on something, it's not always hard. It's not always difficult. Sometimes it is easy. It's so simple. Just a change here or here in your lifestyle or in your eating or in your accountability or your commitment, and it works. And it's never worked before. But you can find that way out today. But it has to be your decision today. So God, I pray, touch every person, God. And if they're teetering on the fence, if they're not sure if they want to completely give up all of it to you, Lord. Lord, let them let go. In Jesus' name today, make today their day of decision to let go. Because God, there is so much peace. There is so much joy. There is so much life. There is so much hope. And it just spills over into every area of our life when we let go of that one thing that we were holding on to. Help us not to be like the rich young ruler who came and said, God, I've followed you in all these other ways, though. And the Lord said, yes, but one thing you lack. Go and sell all of your wealth and give it to the poor. And he couldn't do it. Help us not to be like that today. Help us to go and do whatever it is you've asked us to do today so that we can be free to experience all that you have for us. The way out. It's no fun being stuck in a tunnel. It's no fun being suspended and not able to go where God has called you to go. But oh, the joy and all the freedom when we let go and let God touch our lives. The way out. Father, I just thank you for the way out today. In every person's life, it's here. In Jesus' name. Keeping your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I feel like the Lord is saying, thank you, for you. For some of you today, it's a step. It's getting up and stepping forward and saying, God, I want everyone to know I've made a decision today because I'm not going back. I'm not going to let the devil put me back there again and keep me alone anymore. And coming forward is not saying you're a sinner or that you're terrible. It's just saying, God, I want all that you have for me today. And when you come forward, it's not in shame or guilt or condemnation. We are going to rejoice with you. Everyone in heaven, the great cloud of witnesses, they're going to be cheering. They're going to be shouting because they know what God has in store. And they know that just your commitment of saying, I am willing to step forward in this change and make this decision today, that it's going to release an outpouring of God in your life that you never dreamed. And so with eyes bowed or eyes closed and heads bowed, if it's you today and you want to tell the world and you want to tell all of heaven you're making a commitment, I ask you to come forward today and to stand up here. This is your first step in the rest of your life of walking out the way out what God has for you. And it's going to be the most amazing thing. And as you come forward, I'm just going to come and I'm going to anoint you. And I'm going to agree with you that today is your day of salvation. So go ahead. For those of you that want to come forward today, go ahead and let this be your first step. Thank you, Jesus.